Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, August 12th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
Oh, I'm a big fan of yours. I love the way you cross-examine.
I tend to think of it more in terms of doing an interview, but I see where you're going with that. Listen, we're back with part two of my conversation with Chris Yosef. And this is part of my sex education podcast series, don't you know? It's where we take a look at the world of fetish sex, kink, and alternative sexual lifestyles. Part one of this chat with Chris was so freaking popular, it broke all download records for any podcast during its first week after posting. Huh, pretty amazing, huh? Of course, I had to have my mother and her bridge club listen to it over and over again to rack up the numbers. No, just kidding. If you somehow missed part one of this interesting discussion, look for podcast number 142. Use my site's search function. Type in podcast number 142 and presto! Don't forget to include the pound sign. And for a close-up personal view of my guest and his polyamorous family, visit Chris on his blog, chrisyosef.blogspot.com.
What is this, Humpalimey week suddenly? Otto doesn't approve.
Listen, Otto, I think you're mistaken. Chris is not from the UK, he's Canadian. This week's podcast sponsor is brought to you by the good folks at EdenFantasies.com. A one-stop place to shop for all those adult things you've been hankering over. Of course, you'll find a full line of top-quality adult toys, implements, fetish kits, and sexy lingerie, but that's not what makes Eden Fantasy so damn special. What makes them so extraordinary is that they have a social conscience, and that, my friends, makes all the difference in the world to a sex-positive guy like me. The site is chock full of tips for the consumer, practical user guides, toy reviews, and even a community blog. In fact, you'll find everything you need to make intelligent choices before making your purchase. Look for the link to this amazing site right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Also, look for their companion site, SexIs.com. Dr. Dick has a column there, too. You don't want to miss that at all. Eden Fantasies makes shopping fun and easy, but there's more. You can stay on top of what's new and receive heads up on special deals and limited promotions by signing up for their monthly newsletter. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit Eden Fantasies today. Sex toys and a full line of adult products are just a click away. Okay, on with the show. Chris, welcome back, and thank you again for spending more time with us. We just were getting to know one another last week, and we're touching upon your life as a BDSM bottom or sub, and we mentioned your work in the Titan porn movie, and the title again is Fist and Piss?
Yes.
Okay, good. So...
pretty straight to the point.
Yeah, there's no beating around the bush there, so
no.
To speak, as it were. Exactly. We're going to come back to that in a minute, but right now I still want to pick up where we left off last week and continue talking about the Dom sub archetype. Where do those come from? Do you have any idea? I know that's a bit philosophical, but what does Dom and sub? I mean, it's so prevalent in the human condition. So why? Do you have any notion?
Well, yes.
Good.
There's definitely. You know, I mean, I personally look at the whole Dom sub, you know, as energies,
right. Good.
like the yin and the yang, you know, so there's definitely much more of a, you know, a gentle feminine, not in the literal sense,
right.
Softer side to the sub,
receptive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the Dom is much more of the yang, much more, you know, masculine.
Assertive.
So there, you know, on a spiritual level, I definitely think that, you know, there is that yin-yang sort of male-female energy type thing going on.
Do you suppose that DOMs and these BDSM, DOM-SUM relationships have something to teach the broader population, even people in vanilla relationships?
Well, yeah, because I think that whether you're in a vanilla relationship or not, I think that, you know, just on a deeper level, you know, on the sort of, you know, spiritual level, I think, you know, for any relationship to work, there needs to be this sort of balance of energies between the two.
Who's gonna pay the bills and who's gonna do the childcare and who's gonna do the dishes, and I mean, all of that has to be negotiated.
Negotiated, and you know, there needs to be some semblance of symmetry going on, and some balance. We'll get to the dynamics of, you know, everyone, all the members of my family, and you know how they sort of fit in and how we all sort of, you know, blend together, our energies blend together in that situation in a polyamorous relationship. Mm-hmm. But like, for the sake of, you know, just a general relationship, I think, you know, whether it's you're into extreme, you know, fetish, kink relationships, or just regular, you know, run-of-the-mill vanilla relationships, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, the whole archetype is there. Where do I think it stems from? You know, there's a lot of different contradictory and different thoughts on this. I mean, I know that there's aspects of it in the Kama Sutra, so, you know, it goes back quite far.
Oh, yes,
so, you know, where it actually stems from, I think it stems from the Big Bang.
Who asked you anyhow?
No pun intended.
Let me ask you one further question on that then. Do you suppose there is such a thing as a dom-sub pheromone? I mean, do doms sense subs and subs sense doms? Can you speak maybe just from your relationship
absolutely.
To Tony?
Absolutely.
No kidding.
I mean, I always say if Tony could bottle up his smell, he would be a multimillionaire. There's just something about the smell of that man that just sends people into a tizzy, and it's definitely...
It is so true!
I don't know what it is, but, you know, it's just, you know, when Tony walks into a room, there, you know, there's like, it's like a pack of wolves, you know, in heat following behind, so, it's interesting, the whole pheromones thing. Definitely, I know I definitely give off that energy where I attract a lot of dominant types, you know.
That is so, so interesting. So you know that about yourself.
I do, yeah. I mean, you know, not to be, you know, I'm not being egotistical.
No, not at all.
You know, I love, you know, I definitely, whether it's an energy or a pheromone or whatever, but it's... So there's something to that, I think.
It was funny, because I know that I've related this story to you privately, but I thought I'd share it with our audience as well. Is my first encounter with Tony Buff was, 4 or 5 years ago, and talk about reluctant porn stars. He, you know, the idea. I was doing the Daddy-O stuff, you know, hot and heavy back then, and, you know, I think one of the first things I said to him is that, you know, you ought to be in the movies, and I'm sure I wasn't the first. And he's like, oh, no, that would never happen. That would never happen. And I just go, and you know what? You got stuff bottled up in you that, you know, you need to share with the world. And then I hadn't seen it for a long, long time. And I was reading in one of the periodicals of the porn industry. And there he was on the cover of a Titan movie. And I went, all right, fine and dandy. Yippee.
Well, this all happened in the... you know, the period that, you know, we were separated.
Yeah.
And it was definitely, and we talked quite a bit about that when, you know, when we reconnected. And basically, you know, Tony's main concern you know, he's very passionate about working within the community.
Right.
At the time, you know, his focus was, you know, on the Seattle community.
Right.
And then, you know, he met my brother Derek, who was actually introduced Tony to the scene, who was mostly predominantly just doing fetish BDSM and wrestling movies, sort of, you know, he sort of became Tony's boy, alpha boy, in the you know, during that time, and
uh-huh.
You know, so it sort of started out as, you know, why don't you come do this with me so we can act, because Derek lives in Chicago,
uh-huh.
And they have, you know, they really wanted to spend, have opportunities to spend more time together. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it sort of came about through that. And then I think, you know, when that happened, Tony saw an opportunity that, you know, he could use this as a forum to spread his message and his passion for teaching
right.
to a larger audience.
Right.
Because really, that is his passion. His
yeah.
passion is teaching. He
yeah.
loves doing demos. He's very, very well trained in Shibari, which is, you know, an ancient form of Japanese bondage. And so, you know, whenever he's at events, you know, there's he's given the opportunity to perform and tie.
Mm.
Whenever there's an opportunity to tie up a boy, Tony's there with a smile.
We should also add, you know, for our audience who is unfamiliar with this, despite your deep connection with your family, your polyamorous family, you don't live together. You are in Vancouver, and Derek is in
right.
Chicago, and Tony is sometimes here in Seattle,
yeah.
not often.
Yeah. Well, yes, absolutely. We're all over the place. I mean, Derek is in Chicago, and I can point out that Derek actually has a partner that he's been with for 13 years
uh-huh.
who's not into the BDSM
uh-huh. Interesting.
Scene. So we consider him part of the family as well. And then we have myself, who's in Vancouver. We have a pup in Element who is in Portland, and we actually do now have a Tony collared a boy in Seattle, so he does have a local boy now. But he's had a lot of bad luck with finding a boy or keeping a boy in Seattle. I don't know what it is with Seattle, but Timmy, I think we found a winner in Timmy. So
cool, excellent. So
yes, we're all over the place.
Many power players speak in terms of BDSM as being both recreational and cathartic. Do you share that assessment?
Yeah. I think it depends on the players. I mean, you know, there's just on the physical level, there's a recreational aspect to it. But you know, for myself, you know, I definitely think, you know, we definitely take it to much more deeper
right.
level.
Right.
I mean, I think when you're playing just with, you know, somebody on just, you know, perhaps there's not a connection or whatever, then it is just recreational, and
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. But I mean, within our family, I mean, you know, there's love and there's a
oh
you
sure
know,
right.
And then you can sort of, it's just so much better,
yeah.
you know to go on that. It is cathartic, and it is you know, almost spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is both elements to it, but
right.
I just find for myself personally that that, you know, the recreational aspect is not necessarily appealing to me as much
yeah.
as the other aspect.
Right. At least not at the moment.
At the moment,
right.
yeah.
So do you play with both women and men?
Well, it's interesting. I just actually recently just had my first experience with a woman. Well, not my first experience. My first experience in, you know, a BDSM
right.
sort of situation. And within our leather family, Tony is part of a family called the Dragon Clan, and he has a sister, Marseille. who I actually played with at a recent event. And, you know, I just wanted to experience the energy of being sort of, you know, a power exchange with a female as opposed to a male, because I'm interested in the dynamics between that.
Right.
So Tony considers himself bisexual. So he had a, you know, there was a local girl in Seattle. We call her Kitten, who we had a few opportunities to play with, which was, you know, an interesting experience. Although I don't consider myself bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, you know, just because I eat spaghetti doesn't mean I'm Italian. but I like spaghetti.
I love it. Thank you.
So, yes, I have. I am open to the concept of playing with.
Good.
Not so much in a, you know, a sexual aspect, but more
the power
in
play.
Sort of like power play.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So this is a perfect segue then to discussing your polyamorous life, and already we have some background, and thank you for all of that. And I just wanted to say that you are very public and high profile in your polyamorous relationship. Is that more difficult than people who are polyamorous, you know, more quietly or low profile?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think anybody in any type of public, you know, forum or relationship, there's definitely more, you know, all eyes are on you. So, it's a good, I mean, that's why I love having my blog, because we're more public, we just have more people, you know, watching us. And, you know, there's definitely people that look up to us and, you know, especially Tony and Derek, you know, have a huge fan base, and you know, so there is that aspect and responsibility of setting an example. But we try to be as, you know, we're as honest as possible within our forums of getting, you know, our message out to the people.
Right.
That
there must be more, you know, pressure though, and you know, like any, you know, public persona, about, you know, maintain, you know, you can't slip up, you can't, you know, be less than you. A lot of people have expectations about how you are to live your life. That must be somewhat confining. Yes.
Yeah, well, we don't try, I mean, we try not to buy into that so much.
Right.
I mean, we're just, you know, we try to live our lives, you know, we try to live in our truth, basically.
Right. Good.
And we're very open about, you know, if somebody, if there's a slip up or whatever, you know, I'm more inclined to talk about it than to not talk about it.
Good.
Because, you know, we're not trying to set an example of
right.
being perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's
you
a
know,
good
if
thing.
Any, yeah, I mean, if it, because there's no such thing. I mean, if anything, you know, it's, everything's a lesson. And, you know, if you can sort of, you know, give that message to people. Polyamory, I mean, I had no experience with it until coming back into Tony's life.
Yes.
And then I started investigating. I'm like, you know, because me, I'm the investigator.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, how, you know, where's the spiritual aspect in
right.
this? And then I started, like, you know, reading about it. And I was just like, okay, you know, polyamory, you know, it's grounded in such concepts as choice, trust, equality, in free will, and then there's this whole ideology that openness, goodwill, and intense communication,
oh, there you go.
And ethical behavior. I mean, wow, that's beautiful to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, there's a lot of light in this, and you know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, it's hard enough to sort of, like, you know, gauge like a monogamous relationship.
Right.
But my philosophy is, you know, you can never love enough.
Yes.
And so I don't necessarily, I'm not against monogamy, but I just, I think a polyamorous relationship, it's a very highly evolved
right.
Spiritual practice
right.
that, you know, a lot of people won't get, but there's a lot of opportunities to reveal light in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
you know, it's basically like, you know, it's this organic sort of structure that, you know, if any of those things are broken, then it doesn't work. So especially the aspect of intense communication. I mean, I've never been in a I've been in a lot of relationships, monogamous relationships, and I've never been in a relationship where I've had as much communication and openness as I have since being in our family and in our polyamorous relationship. So it's, if anything, it's much more, to me, it makes, it's much more sense.
Great. In the little time that we have left, I hate rushing through all of this stuff, but our time is of the essence. I would like to move from this polyamorous discussion to its outgrowth, at least what I imagine its outgrowth is your relationship as a porn star to your Dom, Tony. And your appearance in the rough video from Titan, which we have identified as Fist and Piss. Can we talk about that some? For those in our audience unfamiliar with the concept, this movie is about fisting or fist-fucking and water sports. Decidedly extreme, out there kind of stuff. What does this sort of thing do for the kink community in terms of exploring radical sexuality and queer identity?
Well, the rough line is it's the whole consciousness behind Tony having this opportunity. Now, let me just explain to the audience. You know, Tony was offered the opportunity through Titan to direct his own line of fetish films. Now,
and this is Titan Media out of San Francisco.
This is Titan Media out of San Francisco, and this all sort of was happening as I was re-entering his life. And you know, we had many discussions, and he's like, you know, there's so many, you know, different fetish films out there. You know, what, you know, I want to sort of, what can I do that's going to, you know, make a difference? And of course, you know, we wanted to, he wanted to incorporate, hit the whole concept of, he wanted to create films that used real players. He wanted to create a film that incorporated the rack approach, risk-aware consensual kink, with a strong emphasis on safe sex. But without being too preachy, and it's much more shot in a documentary style as opposed to your typical feature porn film. So it's very real. You know, when Tony asked me to do the film, I mean, I had no desire to be in porn. And he's like, you know, I want to do this scene. This is, you know, I mean, this is stuff we do in our personal life. And he's like, there's no way I can capture what I want to capture unless I do it with you. And, so I had some time to think about it, and, you know, I was like, you know, I believe in the message and what he's trying to get out there. I mean, you know, the whole concept, there's just such a, you know, there's a lot of controversy right now within the industry with the whole barebacking thing. You know, and he wanted to show that, you know, that it has nothing to do with whether you wear a condom or not. It's all about the connection. And so my consciousness behind doing the film was more that, you know, we could prove that we could do this beautiful, intense scene, if that's, if that's what you're into. It's not for everybody. It is considered by some as extreme. And, you know,
but
I know...
having sex with the light on is extreme for some folks.
Yes, exactly. but the feedback that we've gotten from people just since the movie's been released is really reiterated and solidified, you know, that why I did it. And, you know, a lot of feedback from people saying, you know, I've never seen, you know, a scene with such intense connection and it's hot and sexy, but yet, you know, the connection's there. And I'm like, right on, you know, that's what we were trying to do. And, you know, there's, you know, on the, within the films, there's always sort of like interviews and stuff where, you know, Tony explains the anatomy of the scene, like as in, you know, on the DVD bonus thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's he's very, very, very conscious of safety.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing about your work in the movie is that the two of you are actually you are being sexual, and your videographers or camera people are capturing your sexuality, as opposed to you guys playing to the cameras. So
right.
it's a completely different gestalt, if you don't mind such a big fancy word, about how one captures, you know, human sexuality, and it's different in type and kind to the other kind of stuff that Titan does and does extraordinarily well.
It is, and you know, I can't really sort of gauge what it's like. You know, I haven't done a feature for Titan. I've just mm-hmm. done the rough line,
right.
And you know, luckily for me, it was a very pleasant experience in the sense that the way that the movies are shot,
mm-hmm.
You know, in feature films, and you know, as a producer yourself, in a regular feature, there's a lot of stopping and starting,
yes.
and whatever. Where with
shooting
this,
sexual tableaus, basically.
Yes. Where with this line, we wanted to avoid that. I mean,
yeah.
we wanted.
And it shows. It's really quite different.
Yeah, it's shot documentary style. So
yes.
the way that the nature of it's it was really cool. I mean, the nature of the set. There was almost. You know, this was my first experience, so I didn't know what to expect,
mm-hmm.
but the nature of the set was just, there was almost like this zen energy.
Yes.
I'm like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Tony and I, once we engage, we're just in our own little world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in all honesty, there was very, very rarely any breaks. So, you know, once I get into that headspace, you know,
yeah.
I'm sort of gone. If anything,
yeah.
they had to sort of like bring me back. You know, it's like, okay, Chris, bring your eyes back to, you know, have my eyes rolling back in my head
mm-hmm.
from ecstasy, you
mm-hmm.
know, like bring your eyes back, make eye contact kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know what it's like on a regular film, but
right.
they shot around us as opposed to the other way around.
Exactly.
So there was very, very little interruption.
Right.
And we did we did two scenes, and we pretty much are 3/4 of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the second scene was a full suspension fisting and fucking and piss scene. And, you know, it was my first time actually in full suspension. So it was very intense, and it was basically me experiencing this for the first time on film. So
wow.
yeah, it was pretty, like, my reaction was pretty real. there was no acting involved. And let me just say, it's hard work. I mean,
I guess so.
Felt like I after the day was over, you know, I felt like I just ran a marathon or something.
Oh, I know.
So.
Doing, you know, traditional kind of porn like we did with Daddy O was also just grueling. So,
mm-hmm.
And we didn't come close to doing anything as extreme as you guys did. So, again, congratulations for you to you on that. Listen, we have very little time left, and I do want to get to one more question before
yes.
We say goodbye, and that is area of interest, special interest to me as a therapist. I often hear from kinksters and pervs, as well as your run-of-the-mill gay and lesbian folk, that they are often frustrated in their search for sex-positive and kink-positive healing and helping professionals. I suppose that you are equally attuned to this pressing concern?
You mean in regards to people finding...
Doctors and therapists and
yes.
spiritual leaders and whatever.
Yes, well, there's definitely, you know, a shortage of people, but that's what you're for. I mean, that's why, you know, you're such an important aspect to the community, your website. You offer an amazing forum for people, as well as, you know, that's, you know, what we're trying to do in our family is trying to just make the information and, you know, more accessible to people.
Right.
And
How wonderful it would be if you guys were able to, you know, do a whole line of educational kind of DVDs for healing and helping professionals, you know, therapists and doctors and mm-hmm. Religious teachers and stuff like that, where, you know, you would be able to help them understand and explore this very important dimension of human sexuality.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's something that's not been explored enough. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, I'm just getting started as far as, you know, my insights on, you know, the whole aspect of connecting spirituality and fetish and kink. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, over time, I mean, things are so busy right now. I mean, we all have very busy schedules and, you know, that's definitely, on my list of things to do. It's on my list of things to do, you know, is to expand my website more into more of an educational mm-hmm. thing. And, you know, hopefully, you know, down the road, you know, we can do some videos and educational type
right.
things that incorporate that. I mean, I know the rough line is just the beginning.
Yes. And, you know, that's why I'm so grateful for you to coming on this show, is that you are reaching an audience that generally doesn't have access or wouldn't think of taking the opportunity to look at the rough line. But here you are talking about this being human and being so forthright and so present to us with your thoughts and perceptions. And I really, 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 really appreciate it.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. I mean, I hope that, you know, I hope, you know, in the future we can even delve even deeper into
yes.
it.
Good. I hope so, too.
It evolves, because, you know, I definitely hope to continue, and I highly respect the work that you're doing.
Thank
so,
you. Good.
So it's been an honor.
As we conclude, can you give us your website again and walk us around a bit and let us know what we can find there?
Yeah, well, so it's, you know, the moniker is Paradox Boy, Chris Yosef, but the actual address is www.chrisyosef.blogspot.com. And you will find very personal take on polyamory, BDSM, and the life of our family mm-hmm. with a spiritual twist.
Good. And we can link to your family members like Tony and Derek through your
everyone
site?
Everyone in the family has a website.
Cool beans.
All linked through my website, tonybuff.com, derekdesalva.com. Yes, and everyone, you know, lots of educational information,
yes,
especially on Tony and my brother Derek's website, as far as, like, you know, for people interested on getting into the scene or, you know, wanting to know how to, you know, find people within the community, there's a plethora of information on both of their websites. And feel free to email them, and they will happily you know, point you in the right direction, because, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than, you know, especially the younger community,
mm-hmm.
the younger boys getting into the scene. I mean, you know, we take pride in leading them in the right direction,
yes.
you know, because a lot of people, you know, have had first-time experiences which have basically been horrible.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's not the scene, it's
not
the practitioner that
that's
was
right.
less than.
And it's very, yeah, it's very important to find the right practitioner for what you're looking for.
Good. So thank you again, and my very best to all of your family, and perhaps opportunities will present themselves in the future for Tony to join us and Derek as well. Thank you,
absolutely.
Chris, for all of your time.
You're welcome, Richard. Thank mm-hmm. you so much, and have a lovely day.
We are all the richer for the experience. You too. Thanks, kiddo.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. You don't even know why you're excited, do you? I didn't want to say anything while George was around. Isn't it time you faced up to certain realities, Ken? Come on. You're a very attractive man, Ken.
Why, thanks, but my name isn't Ken. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Eden Fantasies. Listen up, you guys. At EdenFantasies.com, you have a unique opportunity to both shop and educate yourself about all the swell adult products out there. Of course, they uphold a high standard of quality in the toys they carry, but they are even more focused on customer service and customer education. Their site has developed an online community of product reviewers and editorial staff, fantasy contributors, and a renowned group of sexperts, including yours truly, Dr. Dick. In fact, you'll find my ever so popular handy dandy guide to penis pumps for men and those who put up with us right there at EdenFantasies.com. Look for the guides and tips page, click on guides, and you'll find me there along with a load of other insightful contributors who provide a wealth of information about topics ranging from BDSM to the G-spot.
You've got wonderful bones, great eyes, and you dress really interestingly.
How you do go on, sir. Hey, don't forget to look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health Subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.